Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today Breakfast Briefing. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Wednesday, the 20th of July. And as usual, with all the information contained in this briefing, it is general advice only. So please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas or insights in this briefing. And if you need to, you can always pause the slideshow here and read our disclaimer in full. And if you're listening on a podcast in this wonderful world of ours, wherever you are, whether you're on the tram, the train or in the car or walking the dog, you can always head on over to the marcustoday.com.au website when you get home, or you get a chance and read the disclaimer there. And of course, you can sign up for a free trial if you're listening to this as a non-member. And if you are, then we'd love to have you on board and you can sign up on our website. All right, well, we had a far better night in the US markets last night. Some very, I guess, not quite as bad as expected corporate results dominating last night, so we have something else to fixate on at the moment. So corporate results better than anticipated, or at least better than the worst case scenario. This was enough to force the shorts to come in and cover. We do have a thin and illiquid market at the moment as well, so that does give a little bit of impetus to moves both ways in terms of that liquidity problem. So we do have at the moment the Dow closing up 754 points. That's a big number, 2.43%, 31,827. The S&P 500 up 106 points, 2.76% to 3937. And the NASDAQ 3.11% higher, 353, 11,713. So the S&P 500, as usual, in the middle for diddle in that bunch of numbers. The VIX index, remarkably, I guess, to some extent, only came off 1 point, 3.16% to 25. You would expect a little bit further falls, I guess, in that VIX, but it was enough. But 754 points on the Dow, a good result last night. Results coming in a lot better than expected from the worst case scenario. So that is a good sign, although IBM wasn't very good and that did fall. But we are seeing Netflix as well. They're up nearly 8% in after hour results as well. So that will also help the bulls. In terms of the Dow futures at the moment, they're up around 20 points. So we are seeing a little bit of stability continue and creep back into Dow futures after that 754-point rally. SPY futures up 79 points or 1.21%. So we are going down one day, up the next, but we'll take the up days. We also saw in commodities last night, Brent crude was up 1%, 1.02%, $1.08. 107.35, WTI at 1.58% or $1.62 to 104.22. The gold price, smidge, 50 cents, 17.10.70. Iron ore price still under a little bit of pressure. We do have more COVID cases in China. Shanghai has a bit of a problem at the moment. A lot of mass testing going on there. So that's enough to dent that iron ore price at the moment too. $12 down to $103.14. But the rest of the commodities, not much. But given that we had a big rise in some of them the previous day, not too bad a performance. Copper was down 1.7%. Nickel was actually up 0.15%. We had aluminium down 1%. Zinc down 1.7%. Lead down 0.45%. And tin down 1% last night. And as a result of all this, in terms of mining stocks overseas, we had BHP up 0.4%, Rio up 1.4%, Freeport-McMoRan having a good day, up nearly 4%, Alcoa up 3.5%, Teck unchanged, Anglo unchanged, Glencore unchanged, Vale unchanged, Albemarle up 3.75%. So we are seeing a bit of resurgence in some of these lithium plays, although yesterday we saw AKE and Pilbara down. Some of the smaller ones did have a good day. In fact, Lake Resources, which was the subject of that short attack, was actually up 13% yesterday. Aussie dollar just hovering below 69 cents. So a little bit of strength there in the Aussie dollar as the US dollar is coming off. And you would expect to see that US dollar come off a little bit further if we do see risk on. A lot of money has been hiding in the US dollar at the moment, but that is now coming back into stocks, perhaps, and pushing the equity markets up at the expense of the dollar. Here you can see the S&P 500. It was one-way traffic all day, 2.76%. They fired the gun, and off she went, and it didn't stop. and closing pretty close to its highs. US stocks last night, some of the winners and losers. We had Apple up nearly 2.7%. Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, 5.1% up. Google up 4.4%. Microsoft 2.1%. Amazon 3.9%. Tesla up 2.1%. Netflix 5.6% during hours, another 8% after hours. JP Morgan 2.5% better. Citigroup continuing to push ahead, up 4.1%. Goldman's up 5.6%. Bank of America 3.4%. Wells Fargo 4.2%. The artist formerly known as Square, Block, up 4.5% last night. So all is right in the world, and certainly a risk on, very much in evidence last night. The S&P 500, best day in 3 weeks. The ECB to discuss a 50 basis point rate increase this week. Market still expects a 25 basis point liftoff. But bear in mind that ECB rates are still negative with inflation 8% plus. Then I would suggest that 50 basis points hardly touches the side, really. But of course, Thursday, the big day for European Union as to whether the gas pipeline Nord Stream is turned back on again after routine maintenance. And they are already having some force majeures in some of their customers from Gazprom. So Europe once again being held ransom to some extent by Russia. Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda is in no mood to ease off stimulus and jeopardize his legacy, some people say. And the Bank of America Global Fund survey says investors cut exposure to risk assets to levels not even seen during the GFC. Is that a sign? And peak inflation narrative traction suggests markets may have bottomed. The S&P 500 is on track for its most volatile year since the GFC after reversing an intraday move of at least 1%. For the 17th time, and average US retail gasoline prices have fallen below $4.50 a gallon for the first time in 9 weeks. Don't forget they topped out around $5. That's certainly a disinflationary, having that $4.50 price tag for a gallon of fuel. I was talking to a guy the other day who filled up his Land Cruiser with extended tanks. He had 160 litres tanks. Cost him $380 to fill up his Land Cruiser. Bank executives are warning weakening consumer confidence could dent loan demand. And European Commission estimates Russian gas cutoff could slice as much as 1.5% from the GDP. And remarkably, in the UK, which is sizzling at the moment, roads are burning and runways in airports are blistering. UK jobless rates holding at 3.8%, 3.8% plus one when Boris Johnson leaves, of course, as jobs boom continues with workers rejoining the workforce. And the race for the prime ministership of the UK is now down to three. Liz Truss, Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt are the last three, and it looks like Truss and Mordaunt are the two that are in contention to race against Rishi Sunak, who was the previous Chancellor of the Exchequer. So all will be revealed in the coming weeks. I think Wednesday it gets whittled down to two, and then it goes to a Conservative Party vote, actually the rank and file members. What to expect today? Well, with 79 points higher, we should expect good things, I would say, today. Certainly, money will be coming back into our market with the US banks doing well and also commodity stocks doing well. We should get the twin peaks going on at the moment, the twin forces in our market. We may see a little bit of money coming out of defensive stocks. We saw that yesterday to some extent with CSL and various others. Market seeing some selling there and money going back in to more speculative areas of the market. Of course, the $3.5 billion ANZ book build is happening at the moment of the equity shortfall. So that is a big slug of money coming out of the banking sector, but I suspect it won't be too difficult to find buyers for that, as most people seem to think it's a logical fit for ANZ to buy the Suncorp business, and it's not a bad move at all. So raising money at what could be relative bottom in the market is always something the banks love to do. We got the RBA Governor Philip Lowe's speech at 9:10, and we got the Westpac leading index for June out later today. And the RBA yesterday believes that the highly indebted households will withstand a substantial increase in interest rates. Of course, they did also believe that they would not have to raise rates till 2024. And here we are in 2022, and we've been raising rates for some months. So the RBA hasn't got a great track record. In fact, at the moment, there is now an independent inquiry being pushed on the RBA, which is the first inquiry in decades. So it's about time somebody had a look at their functioning. 10-year yields in the US pushed back above 3 again, 3.02, Australia 3.50, and Germany pushing higher, 1.27. In the US, the Russell 2000 index, which is a more smaller companies index, was up 3.3%, so that bodes well for our smaller companies here. Bitcoin also doing well, $23,367 a fun token. So we may see the gold price start to increase as well. Netflix was up 8% after hours. No way they lost as many subscribers as the market had been thinking about. And Pendle and Platinum have confirmed they are in takeover talks. The last offer price was a share offer. It was equivalent to $6.23. And a sign of the times, there's only just 15 floats, IPOs, registered with the ASX at the end of June, which is only a mere $121 million worth of capital to be raised. 43 in the pipeline this time last year. And Ramsay, languishing well below the $88 KKR price that was first mentioned, could sell its European operations to one of its partners there. And as a result of that, that could pave the way for the KKR bid. The barbarians would be back at the gate, but certainly currently around $70, $71 does look as if it's a bit on the cheap side. Question of the day today. Have we seen another full storm, or are we seeing signs of a bottom? Bank of America Merrill Lynch had their fund manager survey out as well today, which does show an amazing amount of bearishness in fund managers. So have we seen peak bear, and are we seeing full storm, or is it a sign of the bottom that is happening at the moment? Well, that's it. Thanks very much for listening. You can head on over to the Marcus Today Facebook discussion group. We'd love to have your thoughts, ideas and insights there as usual. It's a great group. Members helping members is, of course, our motto. And if you're listening to this on a podcast and you'd like to hear more from the Marcus Today team, you can head to the Marcus Strategy podcast, which is our fly on the wall morning meeting. There's, of course, the On the Desk podcast, where the team in Melbourne talk about all things financial, and the On the Couch podcast, where I got usurped last week by Marcus, who interviewed his son's godfather, I think it is, Peter Harold from Poseidon Nickel, about the outlook for Poseidon, the outlook for nickel, and three other stocks that he likes in the sector, one of which was Panoramic Resources, which I have had in the small cap portfolio on and off, and is one of my favourite nickel plays. So sit back and enjoy that podcast. I did listen to it yesterday and it was fantastic. So a great podcast, and I'd urge you to listen to that. And of course, if you want to get really bearish, then Julian McCormack from Platinum Asset Management a couple of weeks ago sat down with us to talk about his view of the US economy and how much worse it could get. Maybe that's a sign of peak bottom. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. Have a great day, and may the trading gods be with you.